Mazzara and Parra project to Amiwara. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the bait that scare ya. Machado or Bono or no.
Do not adjust your headphones, and I did not need to adjust my voice to make it sound deeper, because I am not Adam Azer, I am Chris Towers. Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Podcast on CBSSports.com. I'm here with Al Melchior and Heath Cummings on a Thursday, and Heath, let's just get into it.
Okay.
You know, because I think you are well known for I don't want to say being a troll, but for being a troll. And
well, I'm not being a troll now. I would just like to start the podcast.
You like to give Adam guff. I believe is the term.
I should apologize because clearly when he's not here, everything goes haywire.
Well, let's hear it. You said you didn't like my notes. You're in a grumpy mood. What's up?
I'm not in a grumpy mood at all. I just want to apologize to the listeners for the podcast coming out a couple hours later than normal. we're on a different schedule today.
Look. Adam Azer wakes up at like 6:30 in the morning,
right,
to do the notes.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever met me.
Unfortunately,
I'm more likely to still be up at 6:30 in the morning.
Perfect
than
time
to
work on
up.
The notes. Then you could have done them before you went to bed last night.
I couldn't have.
You could have just asked for help.
Asked for help multiple times.
There weren't a lot of games being played at 4 a.m.
I asked for help. Look, we are just going to get into. This because look,
listen, it's Tyler Glass now day. I don't think we should do this.
It's Tyler Glass now day. Why are we in such a bad mood?
I'm not in a bad mood at all. I just wanted to applaud. Like, I feel a responsibility to the listeners. I know there are people that probably go on their lunch break at a certain time every day and count on this podcast being available to listen to on their lunch break.
You are the only person that eats lunch at 10:30 in the morning,
and these people are not going to get to hear the podcast today, and I feel sorry for them.
I apologize.
I feel sorry for you.
I apologize profusely.
I think Chris calls it building anticipation.
Yes.
It's Tyler Glass Now Day. Speaking of, what a perfect transition. It is Tyler Glass Now Day. Speaking of building anticipation. Coming into the season, you know, him and Lucas Giolito were the two guys that I think everyone was pretty much drafting unanimously in their fantasy leagues as the draft and stash pitchers. Giolito doesn't make his debut until late June. Glass now early July. Is it going to be worth the wait?
I've changed my tune on this. Well, partly I had to because I thought part of Glass now's appeal was he was going to be up long before Giolito. Put an X in that box. I'm not so optimistic about Glass now at this point. I mean, this almost looks like a desperation move now because the Pirates waited for him to make all of one good start before bringing him up, and that's the one good start after six pretty bad ones before that. 55% strikes thrown rate during that six-start stretch, and a 36-26 strikeout-to-walk ratio. That's yucky.
The control is the big red flag here. Glass now is 6'8". He's a big kid. He has, I would say the scouting reports say he has some trouble repeating his mechanics from time to time, which is pretty typical of big pitchers like that, especially when they're young. 4.9 walks per nine.
That's terrible.
That's really bad.
That's terrible. And last year it was 4.8.
Yes. It's 4.3, I believe, for his career.
That's awful.
Well, and the good part of that 4.6 was front-loaded.
Yeah.
So it's actually been much worse lately.
On the other hand, let's not be too critical of... I believe the number 8 prospect in baseball on Baseball America's list coming into the season, number 2 starting pitcher, has a 1.78 ERA as a 22-year-old in AAA this season.
Yeah.
He has 113 strikeouts in 96 innings.
That part's good.
His hits per nine are below 6, I believe. He's been really tough to hit. The stuff is good. And the one caveat I would add with regards to the walks, and let me know what you guys think. A lot of the times in the minors, teams aren't necessarily looking for run results. And I think the Pirates are probably a team that I would say has a good process in this way. They're probably asking pitchers to throw their secondary stuff, the stuff that they can't throw for strikes, in order to develop. And then when they get to the majors, we're probably going to see Tyler Glasnow throw a lot more of that 98-mile-per-hour fastball than the changeup or curveball that he can't throw for strikes, right? It's possible that he improves on his walk rate in the majors.
Well, yeah, and that's something that occurred to me until I saw exactly how bad the control had been lately. I mean, if he were throwing 60% of his pitches for strikes and getting four walks every nine during that stretch, I'd be like, yeah, okay, there's room to improve that. And he misses so many bats that maybe he could even be okay, you know, if he doesn't achieve better control. But, I mean, he's really dug himself into a hole.
The only way I can see Tyler Glasnow's walk rate being considerably better this year is if his strikeout rate is considerably worse, because batters are just more capable of putting bats on the ball. Like, maybe he won't get to a walk. It sounds like in AAA, there were very few hitters that could consistently hit Tyler Glasnow. Yeah. It was just a matter of whether they were going to swing three times before he threw four balls.
Yeah.
I don't think that will totally be the case in the major leagues. More of his pitches will get hit.
The one thing, there is a very recent, I guess, model for Tyler Glasnow, and it's Lance McCullers, who had really bad control in the minors. That was a big reason why, despite obviously great stuff, he wasn't considered an elite prospect. And then he came up, and I think he was at 3.2 walks per nine last season. So, it's entirely possible that the reason his control was struggling is because he was focusing more on the breaking pitches. Do you think Tyler Glasnow is a must-add player?
All right, after all the negativity, yeah, I do. Because there's the chance he goes that route, the McCullers route. There's also the chance he goes the Blake Snell route.
Sure.
So, yeah, he's a must-add. I mean, there some of the prospects I've picked up, Julio Urias, did a great job in that pronunciation. I'm trying to think of others that I've added and stashed and barely used.
Yeah.
But Urias would be one example of that.
I think he's a must-add in a 12-team. I wouldn't add him in a 10-team.
He is 75% owned in CBSSports.com leagues today. I think it was 62% yesterday. So do you think that number should be higher?
That's probably about right.
I agree. You know, if it went to 80, no complaints.
I don't know what percentage of our leagues are 10 or 18 leagues.
Okay.
But 75 seems fair.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to find out pretty quickly. They are throwing him into the fire here. He gets to go against St. Louis. They are the third best team in baseball against right-handed pitching today. That's going to be a real test for him.
No, agreed. Agreed.
And if he goes out and throws a gem, are you 100% owned on him right now after that?
If he... define a gem.
Seven innings, four hits, one run, nine strikeouts.
And eight walks.
Yeah. And three walks.
And three walks in seven innings. That would be very good. I don't know.
I'm not up to 100%.
I'm probably not adding him in my 10-team league still, no.
I would. Okay. I would be that much of a knee-jerk fantasy owner.
I would say... You know, in most of my leagues, I probably have some mediocre pitcher that I'm willing to drop to take the flyer on Tyler Glasnow.
Matt Harvey?
I mean, we could talk about Matt Harvey because, you know, Adam Azer picked a bad day to take a vacation. Yesterday was a pretty big injury day.
It's at the Podcast Movement Conference.
That's right. It's not even a vacation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a work vacation. You know, he's probably having some fun.
I hope so.
I hope you're having fun, Adam. But yesterday, Wednesday, was a big day for injuries. And Matt Harvey, probably one of the two biggest. We'll talk about him first. He was placed on the 15-day DL yesterday with shoulder tenderness, I believe is how it was defined. But he is going to visit a specialist on Thursday. And that specialist specializes in thoracic outlet syndrome. That is a... I believe it's a nerve issue in the shoulder, and you've seen pitchers like Jaime Garcia have struggled with that. It's been
Cobb missed a lot of time with that.
There was someone for the Dodgers, I think. It wasn't Josh Beckett. I think that's pretty much what ended Josh Beckett's career.
I think so, yeah.
So this could be a very serious injury. You know, when it first broke, I think this was one of those like, oh, Matt Harvey's got a quote-unquote shoulder injury. I feel like that's what everybody responded with. No, it actually does sound like this could be a serious issue. What are you guys doing with Matt Harvey?
I'm holding.
Yeah.
I'm holding. Yeah. I mean, look, if I got a great trade offer, obviously I could say that, but you're not going to get a great trade offer for Matt Harvey right now.
So. Okay. Heath, you did receive a trade offer, right?
Nope.
I thought you did.
Nope.
So was this just a...
I was adjusting Matt Harvey in my rankings.
Okay.
And I was proposing it to Al to find out where he would put
Heath offers you...
I get to sit
in Kennedy for Matt Harvey.
Yeah. There's no way I'm doing that. It has to be somebody I would start... The majority of weeks.
But you also said you wouldn't take Matt Harvey for Ian Kennedy.
Like, no, I didn't. Not intentionally, I didn't say
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah. Scott said that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So you would trade Ian Kennedy away for Matt Harvey to acquire him?
Oh, right now. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So you're... Heath, are you just kind of feeling like you can't do anything with Matt Harvey right now?
Yeah, I'm in limbo.
Okay.
I would accept... Like, if somebody thought I'm going to sell high on Trevor Bauer or Danny Duffy,
mm-hmm.
I think I'd take one of those guys for Harvey.
Okay.
So that's maybe something I'd look to do. Somebody that we didn't think, Michael Fulmer.
Yeah.
Somebody's frustrated with Sonny Gray. I would take all those guys for Matt Harvey.
Okay. Does the fact that there may have been an injury-related issue make you feel better about the way Matt Harvey's pitched?
Not particularly.
Okay.
Like, the fact, if we find out that this is not that big a deal and he's going to be back in a month, then sure.
Okay.
But as long as there's a chance that this injury that was causing his bad performance is going to end his season, I can't feel better about anything.
That's true. I mean, in terms of keeper implications, I just think, yeah, if it's a seasonal league and it's a season-ending thing, there's nothing good to take away from that.
if we find out by the start of next week... that he's out 2 months. You're dropping him, right?
Absolutely.
That would put him out until early September.
If it's a roto league, probably not.
Okay.
If he comes back full steam, that's really hard to replace. Yeah. If it's a playoff situation,
mm-hmm.
Probably doesn't make sense. But
well, the other thing that we deal with in our roto leagues, we have 5 DL spots. In our points leagues, we have 2.
Right.
So I've spent most of the year without an open DL spot.
Yeah.
So I can't really keep him on my bench.
Yeah. Well, again, in those points league formats, they're set up for playoffs. So I'm just trying to think of the position where I might want to save him for a playoff run. And obviously the 2 DL constraint also plays a big role there. But yeah, I guess it would depend. There's probably somebody that I feel like could help me, especially if I was in a position where I was still struggling to secure a playoff berth, then I don't think you can waste a spot
with
Harvey.
So you're not dropping Harvey for Glasnow?
Again, would depend. Probably not. Because Glasnow's probably not the guy I'm counting on to launch me into contention.
Heath?
No.
Okay. The other big injury note from yesterday's games, Matt Carpenter left with a right oblique strain, and oblique is not a word you want to hear when it comes to hitters because those injuries tend to take a long time. We don't know the severity of the injury right now. But
we did get reports the Cardinals were very worried.
They are
very
concerned. So this could be, oblique injuries are the type of injury that even when it's not that serious, they can still end up taking a month.
As it did for Tommy Pham.
Yeah. So what do you expect with Matt Carpenter? What are you doing there?
Well, you're probably just putting him on the stable list. I was doing the same thing with Al on the rankings, and I asked him if he would take Todd Frazier or Mike Franco today for Matt Carpenter, and he said he would rather punch somebody in the face, I think.
That's a rewording.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly what you said.
That was the sentiment.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
I think I'd take Franco.
Okay.
I don't know that I'd take Frazier, especially I wouldn't in a points league.
Okay.
But Franco's kind of now doing what I thought he might do. He's having the breakout, and somebody might think I'm selling high on Franco after being frustrated with him. And like, there's a good chance you're a month without Matt Carpenter.
And that's the thing that we have to start thinking about here is there are about 2.5 months left in the fantasy season.
Right.
Losing Matt Carpenter for a month, that's most of your that's almost half of your remaining season.
Right.
And it could be 6 weeks. It could be 8 weeks with this. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on in the next few days because oblique injuries are really tricky. Who do you expect to get more playing time in St. Louis as a result of this injury?
I think definitely Randall Grichuk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and
see the
Randall Grichuk's not going to play second, right, third, right. No, or just first about base. The,
yeah,
but yeah. The way the wheel in exactly. St. Louis turns,
Wong's going to play second.
Yeah.
The question
after
will be,
putting in all that work, learning how to play the outfield.
Yeah, so yeah. That opens up center for Grichuk.
Assuming that they want to, like, Grichuk's been terrible.
They did recall him.
Yeah.
2 days ago.
I think he will play center for a short period. I wouldn't be all that surprised if Pham gets a lot more playing time.
I mean, that's the thing. With they're so deep and versatile.
Yeah.
That Cardinals roster, you know, I mean, there's Pham, but I was thinking, you know, in terms of Jerko too, because
right.
Could see Jerko spend more second. Time at second.
Wong's been pretty good defensively in the outfield,
which then also opens up time for Adams at first. So, I mean, there's like five or six players that could see a windfall. And the thing is, if it's five or six players, then nobody really wins.
They're going to be kind of Cubsy.
Yeah.
Well, they have been all season. Really, you know, once they sent down Grichuk and Wong, it kind of cleared things up, and then
maybe we'll get Jeremy Hazelbaker back.
Maybe. If only we could be so lucky. Some of the other big injuries from Wednesday's action, Marco Estrada placed on the 15-day DL with a back injury, had a cortisone shot. Doesn't sound like it's a super serious issue. With the All-Star break, you're going to see more guys placed on the DL for sort of minor injuries. Drew Hutchison will start Thursday for the Blue Jays. Any interest in him?
No.
Nope.
Because I agree. I think this could be a minimum stay for Estrada.
Taiwan Walker also placed on the DL with right foot tendonitis. Mike Montgomery will start Saturday. Any interest in Mike Montgomery?
Yeah. I'm sad that I moved too slowly on this because he's gone in my AL-only league.
Okay.
And definitely appropriate to pick up Montgomery there. But I don't know. I just have a feeling that this Walker DL stint is not a minimum stay. And if it is, then I'm worried that the foot issue is not resolved and he comes back and we see more of the same. So
the only thing is, like, Felix is going to be back in a week or two, right?
He's set to make his debut in rehab on Saturday, I believe.
So I would expect he's going to be back pretty close to after the All-Star break.
Sunday in low A is when he will make his rehab debut. Given the length of his absence, it's been, what, a month and a half? I would guess he probably needs two or three rehab starts. But given, you know, then again, some veteran pitchers will just take one or two rehab starts. So he's probably pretty close, yes.
So Montgomery would be the first guy to go down once.
I'm sorry. I'm going to do a quick cheat here and just see. Because, yeah, there's Wade LeBlanc. Miley just recently, you know, spent some time in the minors. So, yeah, I wouldn't automatically assume that Montgomery's the first.
This is a revenge game for him on Saturday, right?
Against the...
I think they're facing the Royals this week.
Okay. Well, there you go. Revenge game. Love that narrative.
He should have a good start.
Yeah. What are you doing? Are you dropping Taiwan Walker?
No.
No way.
Not at all.
Okay. He's been pretty good this season, but it's definitely been up and down. Are you hoping that some of the struggles are foot-related?
Oh, I'm pretty much assuming they are.
Okay. Yeah.
I like that narrative. And
so yeah, his foot is why he can't throw a curveball.
That is correct.
Yeah. You got a plant.
Okay. And Gene Segura left Wednesday's game with a left triceps.
Why are you
bruise.
Always talking bad about Gene Segura?
Literally.
What do you hate about Gene Segura? Like every time he does something good.
You're in a mood.
You are putting him down.
He didn't do something. He got hurt. I'm acknowledging his pain. I'm showing.
You're smiling about it.
I'm definitely not smiling. So I'm in the room with you. Heath.
Yes.
You told me today's FanDuel slate is the best Thursday slate we've ever had.
It's a fun one.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, there may have been a Thursday that I don't remember where we had like 15 games.
Well, you hate Thursday slates.
Always.
Yeah.
Because there aren't enough choices. And then I end up with like seven players that are 30% owned. And it's just no fun. So that's not going to be an issue today. Starting pitcher, we've got Pomerantz, Duffy, Rich Hill, Trevor Bauer, Jason Hamill.
A lot of fun pitchers.
A lot of guys that could score 50 fantasy points or negative five. We've got a game at Coors.
We do.
We've got a bad left-handed pitcher visiting Coors.
Great.
Ryan Rayburn Day.
It's. I'm surprised you came into work.
Yeah.
On a Ryan Rayburn Day. You might not be at work tomorrow.
We've also got some interesting cheaper pitchers. Giolito. Against the Mets. You've got Hyunjin Ryu making his debut.
His return, yes.
His debut.
You say Hanjin Ryu making his debut.
Hanjin Ryu making his debut.
Okay, you did it better than me.
It rhymes. Well, since it's going to be a fun FanDuel Thursday, you should go to FanDuel.com right now. Over a million users have won money on FanDuel, and it's your turn. Set a lineup. You watch some Thursday baseball. You sit back, and you win some money. It's easy to go. Easy to do. Contests start at just $1 on FanDuel.com. Go to the website or use the app. There are so many different strategies you can use. You fade Coors if you want to be risky. You go with a cheap pitcher if you want to stack Coors. It's a great challenge. It challenges your fantasy sports knowledge. I know you'll love FanDuel. Special offer for new users. Enter your first league, and you either win a cash prize in that league or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the right upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code HOMERUN.
Hey, guess what?
What?
Wade Miley didn't go to the minors.
No?
No, he's on the DL.
He should have.
I think that's what I was thinking. He should have gone to the minors. I'm demoting him right now.
All right. One thing that I did give you guys that Adam Azer will not give you on his rundown, I gave you guys some emojis.
You're enjoying them.
So we've got some good pitchers, some bad pitchers, and some meh pitchers. And the meh guys, the little shrug emojis.
I thought we already talked about the Mets pitchers.
It's the best emoji in the world, and we're going to talk about the
good. You love that emoji.
It's just perfect. It's just the perfectly resigned little emoji face because he's like kind of smiling, but he's got his arms up. It's fantastic. But we'll start with the good pitchers first. We'll get to the meh pitchers later. And these are the guys who were good on Wednesday. We'll just run through them real quick. There are a couple of interesting names here. And you're giving me a look, Heath. We'll get to it.
Okay. He's creating his own emoji.
I would not want to use Heath emojis. Johnny Cueto continues to be amazing. Is there anything to say about Johnny Cueto?
Fun Johnny Cueto facts.
I love fun Johnny Cueto facts.
He's had one start this year where he didn't finish six innings.
That is pretty fun.
That is incredible.
And yeah, he threw a complete...
The best part about that stat is he's had three starts where he's given up six runs. So, I mean, he gets blasted, and even then he goes six or seven innings.
Yeah, he threw a complete game yesterday, five hits, eight strikeouts, one earned run. He was amazing against the Rockies. It is beyond clear that the minor elbow issues that we were worried about last season, not an issue.
The second name on this list is Michael Fulmer.
Yes.
It's time.
For?
Make your Michael Fulmer offers. It doesn't get any better than this.
You want to sell high?
I'm selling on Michael Fulmer.
Tell me your reasons for selling high on Michael Fulmer.
He's just like partially. What are the two best things that Michael Fulmer has going for him in fantasy? So far this season,
his ERA,
yes,
strikeouts,
and his win-loss record.
I would say it's ERA and win-loss.
Well, you're right.
He's nine and two.
He's got a good changeup
with a 2.11 ERA.
Yeah,
he's not a 2.11 ERA pitcher.
No,
I've been excited about him. I have him in several leagues. I picked him up early. I've enjoyed this run of success. It's not going to last. He's probably going to be like a mid-threes ERA guy the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably not going to win 85% of his starts.
Probably true.
He's probably not going to have an 85% strand rate anymore.
Probably not.
So thank you, Michael Fulmer, for your service. I will be trading you to acquire another top 40 pitcher.
Okay, so who would you like to trade him for? Would you trade him for Steven Wright?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not doing that. Steven Wright, the pixie dust has worn off the knuckleball.
We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. So name a pitcher you would trade him for.
I would trade him for maybe you could get a Sonny Gray.
Okay. So kind of a buy low.
Maybe you could get a Lance McCullers.
Okay.
After tonight's start, probably maybe a Trevor Bauer.
Okay.
I would be interested in acquiring a Kenta Maeda. I would rather have Taijuan Walker the rest of the season.
See, Maeda and Walker are the two that give me pause because I think those guys, like you said, I do agree Michael Fulmer's probably more of a mid-3 ERA guy for the rest of the season. What?
I just had the greatest thought ever.
What's that?
What if Taijuan Walker had Kenta Maeda's slider?
He would be the best pitcher in baseball.
He would be the best pitcher in baseball.
Because he would actually have a breaking ball that he could use.
I would trade Fulmer for Keuchel.
Wow. And you are noted Keuchel hater.
I mean, I've got him 24th in my pitcher rankings.
Hater.
Which is around where I have him.
Right.
Hater.
I had great disdain for the fact he was viewed as elite.
Okay. Al, would you trade Michael Fulmer for all those guys?
Well, yeah, I'm still kind of hung up on the Stephen Wright thing because I'll take that trade.
You would take?
I'll take Stephen Wright
for Michael Fulmer?
Uh-huh. I don't think the pixie dust is worn off. I think he's had some...
He's had three bad starts all season.
Yeah. Well, and they've been the last three. Two of them against the Rangers, who I consider to be a very tough opponent.
That's a fact.
And peripherally, the start on Wednesday against the Rangers I thought was very good. And those runs mostly came late.
Well, he only threw six innings, so they didn't come that late.
they pretty much had to come in the middle of the game.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. But you know what I'm saying. That he was cruising along pretty well.
Heath is being a pedant.
I'm not being a pedant. They came late in his start. I apologize. That's what you meant.
The one thing I mean,
after six, he had a quality start. He had given up three runs.
Okay.
And, got swings and misses from a lineup that doesn't do that a whole lot. And he has a series of starts. He faced the Angels, who don't strike out. After the break, I think he gets either the Giants or the Yankees. Those are teams that don't strike out.
Yeah.
So probably his next start's not going to look great from a fantasy perspective. But, like Chris said, he's had great consistency all year long. He's had a little bit of a snag here, but even the peripherals are not too scary. So, yeah, I'll do the sell high, buy low there with
Stephen
Fulmer
Wright. Gave up 9 hits, 5 runs in 6 innings against the Rangers, 7 strikeouts, 1 walk. He has a 2.68 ERA, but he's given up 12 earned runs in 15 and two-thirds innings in his last 3 starts. And the problem with Stephen Wright, and I feel like this is probably Heath's hang-up as well, it's hard to, diagnose what's wrong with Stephen Wright because he's a knuckleballer. And as I've said many times before, knuckleballers are random number generators.
I diagnosed it already. Pixie dust.
The pixie dust.
You that only get so much pixie dust at the beginning of the season with a knuckleballer.
He used all of his pixie dust.
He used all of his pixie dust early. He should have rationed it. He didn't have to be that good.
What site do you go to where you see the pixie dust status indicator?
You just need to watch the games.
Pixie
and
dust
you can see the pixie dust on the ball. Like that ball that he threw that broke 3 times.
Used way too much pixie dust.
He used a lot of pixie dust on that one.
Didn't need that much pixie dust on that pitch.
Right.
Are we completely done? If we were ever worried about Jacob deGrom, are we completely done worrying about him?
Like a month ago.
Yes, I quit that about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, that's good. He's got a 2.61 ERA, struck out 7, gave up 2 runs against the Marlins on Wednesday. And Heath, the look you gave me was the Tanner Roark look, I'm assuming.
No, it wasn't at all.
It wasn't?
No, it was the Marcus Stroman Ian Kennedy look.
Because I've got Tanner Roark in the good pitcher's column.
Right.
He pitched 7 innings, gave up 4 runs. It doesn't look like a great start, but as you pointed out to me yesterday, that was a horribly unlucky 4-run fourth inning, I believe, for him.
All in the fourth inning, it was amazing.
He struck out the side.
I watched it. He struck out the side. He gave up 5 singles and a double steal, and that turned into 4 runs. 5 singles and a double steal does not generally 4 runs make. And they don't generally all happen on the only balls hit in play the whole inning. But, yeah, it was terribly unlucky. It was the Brewers. I need to move Roark up again because I'm way too low on him. I have been all year. I will say that inning is kind of an indication, though, of why I don't get as excited about guys like Roark. And he's had a better strikeout numbers this year.
That's the thing. Is the strikeout rate is way up.
I still wonder what his strikeout, and I could very easily, I don't need to wonder, this is not a question that can't be answered. He's had 2 really good strikeout games, right?
Yes, he's had 2 really big strikeout
games. Strikeout games. And the rest of the year, it's kind of been Tanner Roark-y, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't count on Roark for the strikeouts, but he's...
And so
he goes deep into games so consistently that he makes up for it.
It's like I said about Marcus Stroman heading into last night's start. I feel like Stroman needs to be lucky to be great. He also pretty much has to be unlucky to be bad. He's probably just going to be kind of good.
Okay. Scott has Tanner Roark 39th. Al has him 49th. And Heath has him as 58th.
I'm too low on him. I'm moving him up right now.
Okay. You're going to move him up to the Scott range or the Al range?
I'm currently making that decision.
Okay.
Was that points or roto?
That was. What does it default to? Head to head.
Yeah, head to head. Okay, because he does as a Sparp deserve to be a little bit higher in points leagues than he is in roto.
Okay.
It's probably going to go in between those two.
Okay.
Al's way too low on him, obviously. So
I will not be leapfrogged.
You're going to move him up too. This is how
I think we need to keep this going, and eventually Tanner Roark ends up as the number one pitcher on both of yours on both of your lists.
Actually, I take that back. I can't.
All right. Well, while you're making this decision, 50th. Okay. So one spot below Al.
Yes.
So Al doesn't need to move him up now.
No. You can leave him where he is, Al.
Let's talk about some of the bad pitchers yesterday. Mike Fiers, whatever pixie. I think he had some pixie dust over a few seasons. I think it's done. His strikeout rate's way down. 4.35 ERA. Are we dropping him?
You know I'm
if
not.
If you owned him. You're still.
No, Al loves Mike Fiers.
The year is 2035. Mike Fiers has a 4.2 ERA, and Al's still holding out hope.
No, actually, I'm fine with dropping him.
Okay, cool. Same with Drew Smyly. Are we done with him? The apparent upside that we saw early in the season, he just can't get over the issues. He had zero strikeouts yesterday, and I know it's the Angels. They don't strike out, but if Drew Smiley's not striking anyone out, he's not doing anything well.
He can be dropped.
I like Smiley better than Fiers, but
I do too. Yeah. I would not like. There are certain guys that I'm just spite dropping. Fiers would be one. I spite dropped Yordan Ventura in a few leagues earlier this week.
I spite never drafted Mike Fiers. I've been burned too many times by that.
Smiley's more of a, is there somebody I want to pick up? Is he the worst player? I'll drop him.
Yeah. Jaime Garcia.
Was the pun intended or not? Burned by Fiers.
Oh, no. Good job. I'm not that on top of my game right now.
Though you're so on top of it that you pun without even trying.
That's true. Jaime Garcia, 4.01 ERA. Gave up 4 runs in 5 innings yesterday against the Pirates, who have not been good for a long time.
Ejector seat.
Dropping Jaime Garcia?
Yeah. Again, like Smiley, not a spite drop, but...
Well, why don't we rank these four pitchers in terms of your droppability rating for them? Shelby Miller, who had one good start back from the DL and has completely reverted back to being horrible, gave up 6 runs in 5 innings yesterday against the lowly Padres.
He's last.
So you, in terms of,
I don't even know who else we're ranking.
You have all four of these guys on your team, and for some reason, you are still paying attention to your terrible fantasy baseball team.
I'm dropping Shelby Miller.
You've got Drew Smyly, Mike Fiers, Jaime Garcia, and Shelby Miller. Which one of them are you dropping first to pick up Tyler Glasnow?
I might drop Fiers actually before Miller.
Okay,
I definitely would.
Okay.
And I don't really want to keep Shelby Miller. I'm also looking for somebody else to pick up just to replace Shelby Miller.
So how do you rank those four? Smiley, Fiers, Garcia, Miller.
Garcia, Smiley, Miller, Fiers.
You are so wrong. It's Smiley, Garcia, Miller, Fiers.
Okay.
So different.
I would, though. I wouldn't drop all those guys. I think I dropped Smiley to pick up Glasnow.
So you drop but all of them except Garcia for Glasnow.
I think I dropped Garcia.
All of them for Glasnow.
Yes.
We figured it out. Yes. Some of the meh, shruggy emoji pitchers. Michael Pineda. I wrote about Michael Pineda last week after his another great start. He struck out 12 in 6 innings. And the headline was, is it time to trust Pineda?
Never.
And I did not answer the question.
For a reason.
Because you can never trust Michael Pineda. He goes against the White Sox yesterday, gives up 5 runs, 5 strikeouts, 3 walks, and 6 innings. What do you do with Michael Pineda? Do you drop Michael Pineda for Tyler Glasnow?
No, I'm not dropping him. And actually, I'll be so stubborn in my belief that Pineda is back that I'd actually start him the next time out.
Yeah, I'm starting Pineda. I have 2 leagues. And then, like, this shit isn't bragging.
Okay.
But I never dropped Michael Pineda in 2 different leagues.
Way to go.
You should brag about that. I think you did anyway, but you should.
I did drop Pineda in my 10-team big league, and that was literally, like, the next start was when that good run of starts happened. Because that's what happened.
Yeah, I would never do that.
Clearly. You don't agree that Marcus Stroman's a meh pitcher.
I don't believe that his effort last night was meh.
No, I think he's a meh pitcher. It was a good start yesterday against the Royals. 8 innings, 3 hits, 6 strikeouts, 1 run or 1 walk, 2 runs allowed.
For me, he's right in the Jaime Garcia range.
Okay.
He's different than Drew Smyly, but he's not far from him in the rankings because Smyly has the ability to be both much better and much worse than Marcus Stroman, in my
opinion. You are the low man on Marcus Stroman.
I have been all year. I am bragging about that.
Yes.
It's difficult for me, and Stroman does have an ability to get a lot of ground balls.
Yes.
He has an ability at times to really limit hard contact will.
Yes.
That was a perfect setup for him last night. Even though it was in the Rogers Center, he was facing a Royals lineup. They had to sit Morales because his back locked up from carrying the offense the last 3 weeks. Lorenzo Cain's out.
Also Burns from the lava.
Yes, the lava because it was so hot. So he's facing a lineup that's pretty much garbage and has no patience.
Yeah.
So all he has to do is throw borderline pitches over and over and get the Royals to ground out. And it worked beautifully. And the game was still, like, it's a good start. Yeah.
Okay, so he's a meh pitcher.
Yes, I thought we were saying these were meh outings, and that's as good as it gets for Marcus Stroman. You should be dancing in the streets when Marcus Stroman has an outing like this.
Al, I know you're a little higher on Marcus Stroman. Does this give you
I did no dancing, yeah.
Does this give you positivity?
It does. It does. It's confirmation bias, because I think that I've been expecting Stroman to do better first 7-8 starts or so this year. I don't remember the exact number. He was good.
He was good, and the big thing, he was going really deep into games. He was going 7 or 8 innings pretty much every time out, and then things kind of fell apart on him.
Yeah. I wouldn't have blamed anybody for dropping him a few weeks back. I think it is time to pick him up again, and I also think if you pick him up, don't expect you're going to start him every week.
Okay.
Now, this is where I got irritated with you, the Ian Kennedy, because I thought this was the emojis were describing their performance last night.
Okay.
And when we were talking about the good pitchers, it was describing their performance. Yeah. When we were talking about the bad pitchers, it was describing their performance. Mm-hmm. And now I guess the meh thing is describing the pitcher and not the performance.
It's more like, really, Ian Kennedy, you were good against the Blue Jays? Come on.
He was outstanding.
It's how I feel about the start.
Okay. Whereas the other ones were...
Yes.
Okay.
Just an objective look at how they pitched.
Okay. I thought Scott White said it best. If Ian Kennedy was starting tomorrow on full rest at Toronto, you would sit him again. But this start does make me feel better about starting Ian Kennedy in places where he should be good.
Well, this was kind of the full Ian Kennedy experience, right? 10 strikeouts, 6 innings, somehow went against a team that hits a ton of home runs and limited the damage on that end. But it still doesn't make you feel great about him.
No, I like him better than all of the bad pitchers that we talked about.
Yeah.
I have him ranked higher than anybody in the meh pitchers range. I haven't had a Tanner Roark arc, but it's very close.
Okay. What are we doing with Kevin Gausman? There continues to be some lingering excitement about Kevin Gausman. At what point does that go away? He gave up 4 runs in 5 innings. Only pitched roughly a third of this game.
Yeah, the embers for me flickered out about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
No more excitement.
What about Anthony DeSclafani? Pitched surprisingly well against the Cubs. 3 earned runs in 6 innings. Got a quality start against the Cubs. What are we thinking about Anthony DeSclafani?
I mean, this is the worst of his last 4 starts.
Yeah.
And facing the Nationals, Padres, and Rangers, and really out of that, the Padres, the only pretty easy start, and he totally dominated them. So Desclafani's doing, during this period, pretty much the upside of what I thought he could do, which is close to a strikeout per inning, almost no walks, and just getting it done, going pretty deep into games, too.
How would you rank the 5 meh pitchers? Pineda, Stroman, Kennedy, Desclafani, and Gausman. I know Gausman's at the end.
Gausman's definitely at the end.
For me, it's DeSclafani, Pineda, DeSclafani, Pineda, Stroman, Kennedy, Gausman.
Heath?
I think I would go Kennedy, Pineda, DeSclafani, Stroman, Gausman.
Okay. So you the only thing you guys agree on is Desclafani over Stroman, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
But Heath, again, reaffirming that strikeouts are the
most
important
he cares
stat.
About. He only cares about strikeouts.
I take that back. I have Desclafani still well below Stroman. I'm going to leave him there.
Okay. All right. So Desclafani's fourth among that.
I mean, I think Anthony Desclafani and Marcus Stroman have a lot of similarities in what their upside as pitchers this year.
It could be done in very different ways.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess the one nagging thing with Stroman is that the stuff should lead to better strikeouts, and that would lead to better results.
That's
and
true.
That's why people think he can be an ace.
Yes.
But he just hasn't struck anyone out in the majors.
He's just come up short on the strikeout side.
Oh, that was cruel.
It's all you care about is height.
And strikeouts.
You are a height and strikeout bias.
And age.
Now, Heath and I sound exactly the same, and we said strikeouts at exactly the same time.
So, sorry for the confusion, everyone.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some hitters who are potentially, I think for the most part, starting to turn things around. I want to see if you guys are believing in their recent play. Nick Castellanos yesterday, 3-for-5, 5 RBI, hit his 16th home run of the season. He had started to tail off in the month of June or in the month of May, still had a 770 OPS. Are we still starting Nick Castellanos?
Not necessarily. Definitely not in a points league.
There's too many good third basemen. I like Nick Castellanos. I'd start him in Roto.
He's still almost unanimously owned. Do you think that's appropriate?
I don't. And it's funny because when we were talking about third baseman before, we were talking about Matt Carpenter, and mm-hmm. I was saying, okay, well, if I was replacing him at third, who would I pick up? And Castellanos was actually on that particular league's, and it's a shallow league, on that league's...
waiver wire?
Waiver wire,
okay.
Yeah. Not sure why I brought that up. Anyway... Yeah, I think that's over-owned.
Okay.
And but that said, he's on roughly a 30-homer pace. Yeah, I think he could do that. And so anytime you talk about a third baseman who could hit 30 home runs, I think that is somebody that you probably should start in Roto.
Well, let's compare him to another third baseman who's starting to turn things around. Mikel Franco, all of a sudden, has played 80 games this season. He's on a 34-homer just under 100 RBI pace because he's homered in 4 straight games. You would both rather have Franco than Castellanos, right?
Oh yes,
yes,
by far and away.
That's really interesting.
This is another guy that I know he's really struggled and made me look stupid for a lot of things I wrote about him in the preseason. But I've pretty much continued to start him. I never benched him. Castellanos, I was only really starting if I had to. I feel pretty confident that Mikel Franco is a top 10 third baseman.
I wouldn't use the word confident there, but the edge I'll give him over Castellanos, I think they have similar power potential. Yeah. I think Franco could have a big advantage of batting average.
He could.
I wonder how much of that gets neutralized by the difference in the team's lineups and the runs produced.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Franco, because he's got better plate discipline, because he doesn't strike out as much, would be a better batting average guy, except he's been a pretty low BABIP guy.
Mm-hmm.
So far in his career. I think he was under 300 last season. Even lower this year. And you should expect some regression, but that's the one thing where the strikeout rate has moved a little bit in the wrong direction. And so if we were thinking maybe he's a 290 hitter, it might be he's more like a 275 hitter.
Castellanos is interesting because he profiles as a low BABIP guy, but he's not.
Because he hits a lot of fly balls?
So I just want to confirm this, and of course my page is frozen up. Just to take a look at where he's been this year, I am doing a really terrible job of stalling. The pull rate is actually not so high, but yeah, okay. He does hit a lot of fly balls.
Yeah, he's definitely made that transition over the last year or so into an extreme fly ball hitter. Speaking of extreme fly ball hitters, Giancarlo Stanton's back, no more worries. Raised his OPS 50 points in a day.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a top 5 outfielder again.
4 home runs in the last 2 games. We're all no more worries.
No more worries.
And okay.
I mean,
I'd take him out of the top 5 in the depths of the slump, so I'm not worried now.
I'm not taking out of my lineup. I think I only benched him 1 week. But
did you cause him to go off?
Is that what
happened?
You're welcome. But I still have some concerns that he's going to have months where he looks awful.
Yeah, that's been his career.
Yeah.
I just want to point out one little nitpicky thing. You know, Bryce Harper's on his whole make baseball fun again thing, and I'm totally down with that. But he doesn't want to do the home run derby. What is more fun than Bryce Harper in the home run derby?
Excellent point.
For shame, Bryce Harper. Where you are supposed to be a man of principles. He hit a home run yesterday. What are we thinking about Bryce Harper at this point?
I'm still ranking him as my top player overall.
I dropped him to second.
Okay.
Behind Trout or behind Kershaw?
Trout.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, second amongst outfielders.
Okay.
He's probably third overall behind Altuve.
Okay.
In Roto Williams.
And that, you know, and I've said since, you know, long before the season started, as a virtual coin flip between him and Trout, I mean, I still,
right.
still agree. And even though I know many view this as a disappointing season for Harper because he's not approached what he did last year, I still think that he very well could hit that pace in the second half. So there's nothing I see in Bryce Harper in terms of the skill set that would cause me to think that he's somehow less than Trout.
I mean, he's basically your theory, Chris, is that he got tired of not being thrown strikes, and so his pitch discipline has suffered because of that.
Play this one. Well, I won't pretend to know what's going on inside Bryce Harper's head, but
right.
he has grown as he was very aggressive early on in the season because mm-hmm. pitchers were throwing him pitches in the strike zone. As pitchers stop throwing him pitches in the strike zone, it's been like 35% for most of the season.
Right.
He in for a long stretch in May, he stopped swinging, and he was walking a ton. He wasn't producing all that much, but at least he was getting on base. And then over the last month and a half or so, he's just been really aggressive. He stopped walking quite as much, but there hasn't been a return to the power numbers. And he's got 3 home runs in his last 8 games, so maybe he's starting to turn it around, but that is my concern there.
The only thing I would say, and I don't know how this looks on a month-by-month basis, but like his swing strike rate is still way down from last year
mm-hmm.
when it was pretty good. And his swinging, he's swinging less pitches outside of the strike zone than he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't know if like that was only because he was so good for 1 month and now he's been awful at that. But
no, it's not that he's been awful. It's just he's been more aggressive. He's
and walking kinda need less. They kind of need him to be.
Maybe.
Like, they need him to be a run producer. Walks don't produce that many runs.
That is one perspective that I would assume the Washington Nationals are
taking. Well, I'm sure Dusty Baker definitely feels
yes.
that way. I guess here's my question.
They need him to not make outs.
You think that on-base percentage is the most important stat?
Not in fantasy, but for regular baseball, yes.
Okay. Is it better for him to have a 450 on base, but hit 30 home runs, or a 400 on base and hit 40 home runs?
Well, he hasn't been hitting. He hasn't. That's my thing, is that if being more aggressive and lowering the on-base percentage would lead to 40 home runs, I would take that as a fantasy player because I think that boosts his value. But that right. hasn't been what we've seen. What we've seen is that he's been more aggressive without the requisite, without the potential increase in production. That's it.
Yeah. Well, and I think lately we are seeing
yes.
the best of both
yes.
worlds.
Yes, lately we are. He's struck out 3 times in his last 8 games. He's walked, I think, 5 times, 3 home runs. And look, that if he turns it around, the way he did it last season, pitchers were throwing him a lot of junk. And he was still amazing. So it's not necessarily like I'm saying he can't do that.
By the way, going back to your question about the home run derby, I mean, I'm assuming that was a hypothetical question, what's more fun? But if you were actually asking an actual question, Madison Bumgarner in the home run derby is more fun.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
Is Zach Cozart under-owned at 64%?
No.
He should be owned in all roto leagues.
Okay. He's hitting .271. He's on pace for 25-plus homers.
Yeah.
On pace to score about 100 runs. He's having a really good season.
I think 65% is probably about right. There's like you don't want him in our 12-team points leagues, do you?
I don't know.
Where you only have one shortstop?
It's been a deep shortstop league season.
Right.
I have him in a roto league, the one where you traded him to me.
Uh-huh.
I think I've started him 1 week.
Yeah, you should have started him more.
Well, I obviously, I'm all right in middle infield there.
Yes.
Well, either that or I'm making really bad decisions. But I mean, no, look, he does need to be owned in Roto. Probably should be started in most Roto leagues. But if he's not making the cut there in a big way, and especially given that he's not the most patient of hitters, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't see why you'd want him in a points league.
Okay, let's talk about two more hitters, and then we'll move on to the finish up with injuries and notes and emails. Is Prince Fielder turning it around? Is Prince Fielder alive? He had an 807 OPS in June. An 807 OPS in June so far.
July.
He had an 807 OPS in June. Sorry.
Okay.
That's it.
Just period.
That's what I meant
and
to say.
And he had a home run yesterday.
Yes.
Those are two things that both haven't.
Is Prince Fielder back from the dead?
I think he is. Yeah, I mean, just I think the results are certainly showing it. If you don't trust the sample size, I think you just look back to the first half of last season.
Okay.
And I think that Fielder is still not close enough to the deep decline phase of his career that you can trust it.
Okay.
Here's, I guess, my counterpoint. I did not have really an opinion one way or the other before you asked me this.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to look at his batted ball data.
Mm-hmm.
His best month for hard contact was May, 29.8%.
Yeah, that's real bad.
Then in June, when he had an 807 OPS, it was 26.9%. So far in July, it's 23.5%.
Those are all real bad numbers.
April and May were also his best months for line drives. Last month, he was 15%. This month, he's 17.6%.
Well, month by month, I think that's a junk stat. I mean, there's so much variation.
Okay.
Yeah, but
do you think hard contact is too?
No, that is more concerning to me. But
right.
That to me is just the reason to look beyond that. And I'll admit, I haven't looked at, you know, things like fly ball distances or even the fly ball rate over the last few weeks.
Well, that's the strange thing is his hard contact rate is continuing to decline and his home run to fly ball rate is going up.
And see, I think that's, you know, look, we're looking at very small samples, so I don't know that either of those numbers is terribly meaningful. And I'll admit, my faith in Prince Fielder at this point is more about what I was saying a moment ago. It's about the track record, the relative recency of it, and his age. So, you know, I think those are both things that have to be looked into, but I'm not sure that the results at this point will tell you much because the turnaround is still pretty new.
Okay. And Carlos Gomez has stubbornly remained in the 70% ownership range. He's up to 78%.
Yeah.
3-for-4 yesterday with a double and a triple and a single. 814 OPS in June, 828 OPS in July. Is Carlos Gomez back?
Not back, but at least he's not DTM anymore.
Okay.
I have more faith in Carlos Gomez being worth a roster spot the rest of the season, Prince Fielder.
Okay. Let's finish up with some injuries and newts, and then we'll get to emails to close out the show. Justin Bour placed on the 15-day DL with an ankle sprain. Is he someone worth stashing when he's on the DL?
If you have a spot. Not on the bench.
Right, but that's more about the type of player he is than the injury, which does not appear to be very severe.
Okay. Aaron Nola skipped on Thursday, will likely return to the rotation. Well, he will definitely return to the rotation after the All-Star break, although the way he's pitched lately, it's, not quite deserving. Adam Morgan will spot start for him. Mike Zunino sent right back down to AAA. Zach Davies sent down to AAA, but that's just for the All-Star break. He will be back up. Clayton Kershaw played catch for the first time since going on the DL yesterday. Tyson Ross was scratched for his scheduled mound work on Wednesday. Not a big concern. Wasn't a result of the shoulder. He hurt his ankle, presumably doing some Heath Cummings workouts in his hotel room. That is the report. He was working out in his hotel room and hurt his ankle, so I would assume he was doing some box jumps on the dresser.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that stuff.
he hopes to throw a bullpen session by the end of this week. Garrett Cole pitched 3 innings in his rehab debut. Tommy La Stella returned from the DL, started at third base. Felix Hernandez, like I said earlier, will make his rehab debut Sunday in low A. CJ Wilson's season is over before it started. He will have season-ending shoulder surgery. David Ross was placed on the 7-day concussion disabled list. Alex Cobb did not make it out of the first inning of his rehab debut on Wednesday, but it was because he was not good. It was not because he was injured. 21 pitches, 8 for strikes. That happens when you're returning from Tommy John surgery sometimes. And Kevin Kiermaier took batting practice for the first time yesterday. Let's finish up the show with some emails. We've got one from Travis. 10-team head-to-head categories league with two keepers. He gives up Brian McCann, Ben Zobrist, AJ Pollock, and Lucas Giolito. What's that?
This is a complicated trade to not have in the notes.
Brian McCann, Ben Zobrist, AJ Pollock, and Lucas Giolito. He gets Jonathan Lucroy and Gregory Polanco.
Okay.
I have no idea. I could name maybe three of the players that you said. I'm going to say C. It's a solid C. It seems about fair.
Come back soon, Adam. We'll move on to Snelly Bumfinger. That's his fantasy baseball team name. Snell and Bumgarner.
Okay.
That's who he named his team after. Okay. From Schaumburg, Illinois, Dear Alvin, Theodore, and Simon.
Those are chipmunks.
Thank you. Question one, who would have the biggest impact rest of the season to justify using one of his two DL spots? JD Martinez, Michael Brantley, or Hunter Pence?
I think because he could be back very soon, Michael Brantley.
I was going to say JD Martinez because Michael Brantley might never be healthy again in his life.
Michael Brantley, I believe yesterday did say he's 100%, but I'm pretty sure he probably thought that the first time he came back from this injury.
Yeah, I think 100% is a different 100% for Michael Brantley than it is for other people.
Okay.
Like, he's at 100% of his capacity for health, but that might be like 80% for everyone else.
Okay.
I'll take 80% of Michael Brantley.
Would any of those guys be worth stashing again? Martinez, Brantley, or Hunter Pence, worth stashing over the now DL'd Matt Harvey?
I would rather have all of those guys over Matt Harvey, except maybe Hunter Pence.
I agree with that.
Okay. And Kyle from LA. With Hyunjin Ryu coming off the DL, he's trying to figure out who to drop from this group. James Shields, Scott Kazmir, Lucas Giolito, Brandon McCarthy, or Brandon Maurer?
McCarthy? Maybe McCarthy or Kazmir?
I'll go Kazmir.
Okay.
McCarthy looked good in his return from the DL. The Dodgers have a lot of guys coming back from the DL.
Check me out. I had more faith in James Shields than Scott Kazmir.
I really like Brandon McCarthy. He's a great guy to follow on Twitter.
Just seems like a terrific
fella. I'm cheering for him to succeed. I think the odds of him being good this year are pretty low.
Well, you know, the last couple of seasons before the Tommy John surgery, his velocity spiked, his strikeout rate spiked. He was a much better pitcher. You know, those things can lead to Tommy John surgery if they come late in the career, so that's a concern. But I do kind of believe in Brandon McCarthy.
Believe it's worth trying him out over Scott Kazmir.
All right, guys, we made it under an hour.
Good job, Chris.
That felt like a long, rambling podcast.
You did a great job leading this podcast.
I led the podcast for sure.
You should do it again tomorrow.
We'll leave the superlatives out of it. Adam, come back soon. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Machado or Bono.